So there is one saying here, Hatu. Machine learning and AI, they go interchangeably. Of course, machine learning is a subset of AI. This is where, for me, the experience or interaction with AI started way behind during my final year semester days in my engineering back in India. These were the mid-90s.
First, thank you for coming and listening to the RH Podcast. We talk about business, we talk about software, we talk about technology. One last thing, if you can share this podcast with anyone you know on Facebook, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on Twitter, it really helps bring people to the podcast. We don't make any money from this. So if you can do that for us, we'd really appreciate it. Now, let's move on and listen to our next guest. Hello, Raghu. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, Hedu. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing my best. This is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Raghu Banda.
Yes, Raghu Banda is great.
Okay. And he actually does a lot of different things, but I think what he's been doing a lot is working at SAP and, as one might assume, quite a litany of roles, almost like maybe even 6, 7, 8 roles. But a lot of it, luckily for us, has been in big data and sort of bringing AI models together. And right now, he is the Senior Director of AI Product Management at SAP Labs. I think he's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about what he does and a little bit about AI now that things are advancing very quickly. And, you know, his ideas of how it was and, you know, what they possibly can be in the future. So, you know, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Hato, for giving me this opportunity to getting on board and speaking about some of these AI technologies. Maybe I can talk in the context of how big enterprises are building it.
Right.
I'll talk more with my experience with SAP. I can talk more about how, from the enterprise standpoint, how AI and analytics is being built.
Okay. Let's dive right into it. First of all, I'd love to know more about what machine learning. Everybody is thinking about it now. Thinking about AI and learning now, but you got into it very early. It's always interesting to me, the people who started early, what did they see in this area that made them feel like this is the direction they want to commit their careers into?
So there is one saying here, Hatu. Machine learning and AI, they go interchangeably. Of course, machine learning is a subset of AI. This is where, for me, the experience or interaction with AI started way behind during my final year semester days in my engineering back in India. These were the mid-90s, and there were not many resources. But obviously, our human mind is always there, like trying to understand what are the different possibilities out there. How can I do some kind of predictions? And how can there is always this fantasy about how robots can come into play and how they can design and how they can help become human assistants. So that's how my interaction started. There were not enough resources. I just wrote a white paper during my final year semester days. And then I got into, like everybody else, into the IT world. 10 years back, I got an opportunity when I've been working with SAP. SAP was venturing into the AI and machine learning world. Mm-hmm. Got an opportunity of how we can help our customers provide better experiences. So that is how our journey started. And for me, it was a great initiative. If you go back into the programming days, there are a lot of these, you do manual if statements, if then else statements. This is how the old, I would say, AI started. It was like a manual AI, if I may say. Mm-hmm. You understand what are the different things and how do you act to that. So based on that, my interaction started with that. So I would say that yesterday's mere analytics, today's analytics is yesterday's machine learning or predictive analytics. And today's machine learning will be tomorrow's mere analytics. The reason why I say this, or the quote, is that technology has been improving at a tremendous pace, at a fast pace. And this is how you can build better models, better algorithms. So that's a quick take on where I'm coming.
Okay, fantastic. So from what I'm hearing, excited about what it would be like to have a sort of a digital assistant, right? And what it would be like to have computers assist you in the way that a human can. And that's, I like, at least at that time, quite the fantasy. So getting this new opportunity, and you decided to take it. So moving on to some other ideas, where do you see, and you sort of alluded to this before, how do you see AI's integration into larger enterprises, into bigger companies, thousands of people, lots of partners? How is AI going to immerse itself in that space? And from my understanding of AI, it's quite a foundational technology, right? It's almost like you have a horse, now you have a car. How are you going to now start talking about traveling now that you have a car? So how does AI go into these spaces and restructure the organization, restructure the way that they think about information and organization?
Yeah, so that's a great question, right? So because now that we know the technology is out there, if I go back maybe 4 or 5 years back in the lane, ever since I started my journey in this AI ML space for the last 8 to 10 years, we've been understanding the customer requirements, how we can help customers or enterprises benefit from what they are doing, and how we can enhance their user experience. Can we do that by adding additional technology into it, or additional understanding their behavior, their patterns, and then provide some recommendations or provide some insights and say that, hey, this is what you're doing not so good, this is what you're doing better, and how you can enhance that experience. So this is where we have been doing it without even naming that it is AI. Obviously now with technology enhancing. So there are three big pillars, I would say, as part of when we are working with AI, right? People, processes, technologies, and the underlying layer being data. We all know that that the topic you asked about these enterprises, right? All of these enterprises have humongous amount of transactions or interactions with the other enterprises or other suppliers or vendors and their customers. So there are a lot of inflection points. There are a lot of integration points. This is all data. So data, you got a lot of data. Being an enterprise firm or being an enterprise, all these enterprises, they have designed and they have set up huge processes which are implemented by the customers who are using it. So the companies are also now good in understanding what kind of processes need to be there, whether it is a procure-to-pay scenario or an order-to-cash scenario, if you take a particular business process. Mm-hmm. Now you have tremendous amount of data. Yes, you have the processes that are set up. And now with the advent of the different, the computing resources are increasing at a faster pace, whether it is with the CPU processing power, like according to the Moore's law, the processing speed is increased by 10 times. And now with the GPU power as well, the graphical processing unit, you could, at a faster pace, you can analyze what is happening. So in a way, your technology is also improving at a faster pace. Mm-hmm. And hence, the algorithms that I've explained earlier, the manual if then else, it has now evolved into building the decision level algorithms, whether we might call it neural networks or decision trees. And that is how the pace at which you could build the algorithms also increased, because the underlying technology pieces like the CPUs or the GPUs that you're using has increased. So now that you have addressed, yeah, you have a lot of these processes that you have set up, the technology is improving. The big block or the big thing is that the people part. How do you make sure that people understand how to use these process, how to use this technology,
right,
and the data, and how you can improvise the process so that the end user experience improves? Whether it is a consumer who is using the technology, whether it is an enterprise using the technology. So it all ties up with how the people play into this.
Right. So let's deep dive into the process a little bit, right? So how do you see a company being able to think about what it would mean to have AI be the center of their process or just be part of their process in the first place. Like, so how do you say you have this tool? So what are you constructing? This is before you know exactly how people will use it. Maybe you just want to just have something small and that can grow as people can grow with the understanding. So how do you have a company, an enterprise, inject that into their ecosystem? What would be the best place? How to do it? Maybe you do it, you know, what rate? How do you, kind of, what is the process, right? And I guess the process would depend, but what is the fundamental idea, if there is one? And I can also see how that is a hard question to ask without understanding the people and who are you, who are using it, right? Because an accountant is going to be different from a salesperson and how they value this technology and what they're going to try to get out of it, right? I understand all that as well. So if I have a large company, how do I see myself first with the process, just to get a little bit of an understanding of what that would mean independent of the people and start thinking about, because those pieces, when they sit for a long time. The people are movable and people by definition are a bit more flexible. So even if they can't do it now, they can be taught. But the processes are the processes. Once you have them, they're, the idea is that they're going to stay for quite a while, fortunately or unfortunately, right?
Right. So let us unpack that a bit or deep dive into the process bit a little more, right? Like, you know, let us pick up a particular process like procure to pay. This is a particular procurement organization or a procurement unit.
Just for the people, can you explain what procurement is?
Yeah, sure. So procurement is a particular business unit in an organization where they are responsible to oversee how you are buying and selling habits, whether it is items, whether it is whatever is needed by your organization. So you will have the procurement specialist or the procurement organization overlooks how much are you spending in identifying the different items that are needed, whether it is, so that is the reason I would want to take a particular example. In a particular organization, you have, let us take the example of a plant manager in a particular plant organized.
Right.
They are running out of some spare parts or a particular item when they are working in their plant or a location. So obviously they would want to order this particular item. So when you want to order this particular item, you will need to have, you will need to understand if there is a particular RFP process available, the request for proposal process, or if there are some contracts already aligned so that I can directly place a contract. I can use this particular contract that I have and I can directly reach out to the supplier or the vendor of this spare part or this item. And if this particular item is available, it will be delivered. If it is not available, maybe there will be some communication that happens between the purchasing unit and also the supplier who's going to supply. And maybe they will say that, hey, this item is not available in XYZ location of our factory. Or maybe we'll get it from some other location around the globe. Or they might say it is not even available. I will provide you a substitute. So, and then once it is available, order is placed so that the item can be now purchased and then it can be delivered.
Right.
Once the item is delivered, we'll have to see. So this is a whole process. Then the payment happens.
Yeah.
How can you improvise this process? So making that all this interaction is very smooth. And if there are any hiccups in this process, how you can understand and predict ahead of time, saying that, hey, at this particular location, suppose my contract is expiring with this particular suppliers, do I need to extend the contract or do I leave it out? Or another example, I ordered this item, the supplier has sent this, said that it is available. We have placed the order, but it is getting delayed. I would like to know when this particular item is going to be delivered, so that it can go into my production process. So I have to do a lot of planning. So in all these different steps, based on the historic information or the historic correspondence with this supplier, and the, because I have all the data, I can say that, hey, in this particular region, in this particular supplier, there is always some kind of a delay happening. So you could provide some kind of predictions. And sometimes what happens is that if there is a delay, the product has already been shipped. You could also have added additional sensor technology, like the IoT technology, where you can even understand that, hey, on this particular route, there is an accident or there is bad weather conditions. So again, it is getting delayed. So all these kind of information, this whole process for the end procurement organization or the procurement specialist who has ordered this particular item, it is available so that the whole process can be enhanced. The experience is enhanced by using the AI technologies. And when I talk about AI technologies, it's not only the machine learning related algorithms and doing the predictions. Maybe in some scenarios, we also use some kind of automation technologies, automate bots, which can also automatically, the interaction happening between the supplier and the purchaser, the emails can be automatically read and uploaded into the system. So those kind of.
Okay, the emails can be automatically what, ripped? Is that what you said? Ripped or?
Read.
Oh, read and and uploaded into the system. Right.
Uploaded into the system.
Right.
So those things you could do.
Automation solution. Right.
So in this whole process, you could have different, at the different steps, you could use different AI technologies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you were asking something like that.
No, I'm curious about, sort of, you've drawn that landscape of lots of essentially transactions where goods, services, and variables are interacting. Goods and services being the things that are being procured. The state of the procurement is being identified and contracts and various things that have to do with business relationships. And then if under the condition that there is some sort of relationship and there is some sort of procurement in principle, then you start considering whether or not that is happening at the rate that you want as a company, whether this service or this product or this product service provider is actually giving this to you in different environments, ideally. So you have this sort of landscape, and there's lots of opportunity for, if nothing else, being able to sense the state of this whole relationship. Where can AI create a qualitative improvement? Because there's opportunity for inspection at different points and an opportunity to raise red flag. But sort of the qualitative improvements are there. And there's also like aggregating information, right? So over time, all this information has been collected about the way that this particular vendor behaves. And we can now say that most likely this is the outcomes or these are the positive outcomes we can leverage for this vendor versus this vendor. Independent, that we did, or this is something that we thought that this vendor was able to do, but they no longer are able to do, or over a period of time, they have reduced in productivity. So this is a bit more qualitative, right? Where it's an aggregate of the outcome of multiple data points. So can AI in that space inject itself either to increase the qualitative improvement to an even higher degree or reduce the complexity of being able to extract value from all the multiple interactions or data points being recorded? So sort of backwards or forwards in a way. But where are you interacting and how is it providing value there? But that's sort of my question was clear.
Yeah. So you're asking about how does this provide better business outcomes to the end user, whether it is a procurement specialist or the purchasing manager. So there are at different points. Like, for example, I did three different steps in here. There is one step which I did not even mention. Even before a particular order is placed, there are situations that you could take a picture of a particular spare part that has even gone bad or a similar spare part.
Right.
Even you could do a particular picture of this spare part item and then you could upload it into the system. So this is where here there could be huge quality improvements. Rather than searching the whole set of category of the items that are not available and
right.
match, I directly upload a picture of a particular spare part that I'm looking for. So here,
right,
you can improvise on the shorter time to respond, right? Like you can find this particular, you could do an image search or an image match.
Yeah.
And then you could reduce the time to find.
Right.
That is one point. So the second thing is, I mentioned that you have particular contracts set up with these different suppliers. Maybe
right.
if your particular contract is expiring with a supplier, you need to get into a contractual agreement. If not, what might happen is that you might run into a situation, if you are under a particular contractual obligation with a supplier, you are getting the goods delivered at a better price. So if you are running out of the contract, so this is again another place where AI will be used. Like your system will let you know ahead of time, hey, my contract is getting expired or running out. That is a second situation.
How does that differ from the timer? Right, where you know that there's a 6 months or a reminder on your calendar. How does AI create the kind of qualitative improvement you identified in the previous example, where being able to identify things is now trivial, reduces the time that it takes to find something and increasing the amount of time you have to deliver something, or and just even in general throughout the whole ecosystem. If there is any issue, any red flag that happened, identifying solutions is just faster through all over the board, right?
Yeah.
So for this particular situation, how are you different from sort of like a calendar reminder, right? Where you said 6 months from now, I need to renew this.
Yeah, like I explained in the first example, in the first step where you have doing an image search, it's reducing the time to respond. So there you're getting a huge boost. And in this contract expiration yeah. situation, it's not just merely the time or a calendar set, right? Like because you have
right.
X amount of contractual obligations set up with this XYZ supplier. It's not only the time period, but the amount of contract that you have used. If you have consumed this particular amount of contract, then each of these contractual obligations, you will have subcategories with different items, sub-items available.
Right.
It's not only just the calendar, but also the contractual amount.
Right.
So that as well, you will need to constantly understand how much of that contractual agreement, how much of this is available, and then provide some kind of timely alert saying that if you do not renew the contract in a better shape, you might be running into a situation of spending more.
But so if you have, even if you do have a contractual agreement where you have multiple things and different tiers of, it can be from a car to a single bolt in the car, just an example, where if mm-hmm. you're assuming you're a car manufacturer, right? You're running out of bolts because you usually run out of bolts quickly, but your contract is from all the pieces of the car. So you need to re-sign for more car pieces, regardless, because you can get it at scale, you need it anyway, and bolts run out fast. So you may as well just double up contract, right? Even that, you can consider that to be like, maybe not time-based, but quantity-based, where as long as the input value is, it goes below a certain threshold, you could trigger at least the alert for the need for a renegotiation or you know, an update on the contract. So how can AI help in that situation? Like, even if it's just an aggregate of being able to plan, that, you know, there's lots of ways, but I just want to know what you think. So where how do you, you know, I'm looking for qualitative updates, like qualitative improvements, updates, improvements, but qualitative improvements in the same way. Where, you know, that says, okay, this is definitely going to reduce a lot.
Mm-hmm. So here I would say, like you've explained, I think there are different input variables that will get into the calculation of this contractual negotiation or the contractual expiration.
Right.
And when we are putting these different input variables, it would take the form of a regression kind of an algorithm.
Right.
Where you will have to take these different input parameters and come up with this regression algorithm and understand that, hey, maybe this particular contractual amount for all these sub items, and depending on the time that you have set, will provide this much amount of your contract has been expired or is expiring. So you will have a quantity as an output, providing that, okay, this much amount of this is expired or expiring. And then you could make some decision based out of no, I do not want to further expand this contract, but I will go with another supplier.
Right.
Or I will leave this particular item and I get into a different request for proposal. So that is where it might go.
So let's move on to, just because of time, sales and sort of how your understanding of AI affects the sales process, and which is, you know, very much the input of a business. So how do you see this technology affecting the way people reach out to other people, businesses reach out to other people, businesses reach out to customers to identify the value that they have, and being able to do that at scale and also bring people down that sales funnel? So how do you see AI affecting those areas? But specifically, and I think small businesses have been very flexible when it comes to using ChatGPT for their copy, and a lot of that has flooded the business landscape. But how are enterprise companies, their engagements or their sales are a lot more nuanced and complicated. How is AI helping that? How is AI helping them shake hands with other large customers to provide value? Yeah.
Sure. I'm glad that you brought up the ChatGPT component as well, because there is this particular sales inquiry process, sales inquiry to sales quotation to sales order and sales order completion.
Right.
In this particular process, I'll also explain where ChatGPT or similar LLM technology can also play a role. For example, an internal sales representative who works, there are like maybe 3 to 5 sales representatives who work for a sales manager. So their everyday, day-to-day, day-in, day-out job is to identify what are the number of incoming sales inquiries that are coming in and understand which of these sales inquiries ideally will be converted into a sales quote. And out of this sales quote, I can create a sales order. So once a sales order is created, obviously you can follow up the sales order and then you can close them. And obviously you get paid for that, and then you will know. So maybe there are 100 inquiries. Out of that, maybe 60 quotes are created. Out of that quotes, maybe 20, 25 sales orders are really created.
Okay.
So this whole process, you see, it's like a funnel, right?
Yes.
So you see these different sales inquiries, when they come, they can come via different forms. It can be like a fax, or it can be like a email, or like a text message, or these different kinds of things you might get, these different inquiries. And all this information has to be now analyzed or passed, and you have to be accepted into your system. I'll take the example of, I'll leave the sales inquiry part and I'll get into the sales quote, because that is easier to discuss in the example that I'm going to discuss. The sales representatives, they get emails, different emails, and each of the emails, they might have these purchase orders coming via document, like a Word doc or a PDF, or maybe normal email text. Now, this information has to be parsed and uploaded into the system. And in some scenarios, once you upload into the system, this particular purchase order document, it has to be converted into a sales order. The conversion process, so reading the email and uploading into the system, it's a manual task generally. So this manual task can be easily handled by using a bot, an RPA bot, that can just read an email, take the purchase order PDF file or a Word document, upload it to the system. That is the first
step.
The second step now, once it is uploaded to the system, it is still a PDF file, a purchase order PDF. It has to be converted into a sales order. So what you have to do, this is where you have your text recognition machine learning service, which comes into play.
OCR.
Yeah. It has to scan through the complete document and understand the different fields, convert it into the sales order related information. If I have got all the information needed,
right,
to create a sales order. And in some scenarios, what happens is that you got all the basic information or the elements to create the sales order,
mm-hmm,
but you need to create the description. In some scenarios, the description that we sent via the PDF, purchase order PDF, or via the email is not well structured. So this is where you can use a large language model service, LLM, where it can summarize that information and create a nice sales order description.
Right.
And you complete the whole sales order and then create a sales order in the system.
Right.
Once the sales order is created in the system, there might be still some kind of a notification or alert saying that, hey, yes, you have done all this, but there is still some information being missing. Again, this is triggered by AI service saying that you have passed the complete document and you have taken the elements. You have also added, taken the LLM service and created the sales order description and all. But there are still some fields that are missing. Then, so you have greatly reduced the work that is needed for the internal sales representative.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than processing hundreds of documents, he will just see that, okay, 80% of these documents are processed and recommendations are provided to him. Okay, all this is there. I can recommend to create a sales order for this quote. Or he would say no. So you will get the recommendation saying that, these are the different things. In some scenarios, if the sales order is not created because there is some information missing, you will get into the system, fill out what is the much needed information, and then create the sales order.
So that saves almost 80% of the time needed to identify. And another thing is even just being able to identify that this is an intent to buy on emails could be done by an LLM where it reads and identifies some probability that there is some intent to buy. And even it allows you to do a follow-up if necessary, or just sort of ensure that you're able to capture the maximum amount of intent. That in and of itself can increase the conversion rate on your sales funnel, which has a lot of value. So we talked about procurement. We've talked about sales. One last thing I would love to ask you about, and for those who don't know, you've actually written a book on all these ideas when it comes to AI and how that integrates machine learning, how that integrates into enterprise companies. But you know, moving back to the finance part, for finance, how do you take advantage of this technology? How do you use it in the finance area? Again, in the sort of enterprise space in very, very large companies.
So in the finance area, again, there are a lot of different applications where it can definitely help the finance line of business, whether it is the accounts payable clerk or the accounts receivable clerk,
right,
or the accounts payable AP manager, AR manager.
Right.
When they are closing the books at the end of a quarter, there are a lot of reconciliation that you have to do between your various accounts.
Right.
This is where machine learning can do, AI services that you are building can greatly enhance and match your documents.
Right.
You have maybe XYZ accounts that have to be reconciled to make sure that all the information is really closed.
Right.
And this is where we have different, in each of there are numerous number of use cases like you mentioned. Like you mentioned, yes, I got this book here, which is where I have highlighted some of these different aspects in finance line of business or procurement. At each when you get into each of these use cases, I explain on the business side of how it can greatly enhance the finance manager, whether it is the AR clerk or AP clerk, in closing their books faster. They can greatly reduce their amount, the amount of time they spend, and which will save thousands of dollars for the organizations.
Hundreds of thousands. So I'd like to talk about, in general, where do you feel like AI is going to go? Where do you think it's going to, I mean, we've talked very specifically about very specific parts of enterprise organizations and sort of where that technology is going to massage itself into something that is unique for that organization and how they need to think about it and how that is going to provide value. But I'd love to know in general what you think about this technology, because you've seen it grow and it's been exponential. I mean, there's been a lot of exponentials happening over the last 10 years. I think this last 10 years have been the years of exponentials on cars, on kinds of currency, on some real foundational technology. There's a restructuring in media that's happening quite literally as we speak. It's been a very interesting few decade. And so where do you see, and now AI has maximized on its utility. It has been working towards becoming something that has utility. Its potential was clear, but now it's truly has a surface area that, you know, most people can engage with. So now where do you see that going? What do you see that turning into relative to the experiences you've already had sort of for the last 10 years?
Right. I think so. This is a burning question, right? All of us have now. I think there's a lot of these things going on around it's no longer a hype. AI is no longer a hype. It's almost a buzzword now. We see this affecting our lives in many different ways. So you can take any application, whether it is the thought process was like 25, 30 years back when I was in my school, doing my undergrad, we all had this fascination of AI,
right,
software and robotics, the hardware working in tandem and creating a future where you have these flying cars or where it is the robots coming and taking over. That has not yet happened. Maybe that will happen in future. It would take time because hardware working with software and creating this will take time. So I would say the blue collar jobs, I think, it would take time. But for the white collar jobs currently, the knowledge information or the knowledge worker, I'm not saying that the knowledge worker is going to be replaced, but AI can play a huge role. For example, this conversation that we are having here, preparing for this conversation, earlier it used to take me a lot of time and a lot of effort to prepare.
Right.
But now I could use the tools like ChatGPT or Bard AI. I put my thoughts yesterday night on what I wanted to discuss.
Right.
It gave me a nice summarization of things.
Right.
So it explains how a knowledge worker or an IT employee or a programmer or a product manager, how can they influence their job? So I would say rather than jobs getting changed, job role descriptions will change.
Right.
So for me, earlier as a developer or as a marketing expert, there are a few things I used to do, but now everybody can benefit out of using the AI assisted tools. So
right.
I can do my work in a better way,
right,
enhance my work in a better way and help the marketing profession or the development effort team in a better way. So the way I'm seeing it is that the next 5 to 7 years, we will see a lot of this inception of these large language models. Large language models are nothing but, again, foundation models. They are dependent on the foundation models. This is nothing but your chunks of AI brains sitting in each of these different organizations or
right.
different industries.
Right.
Taking all that information, making it available. So we will be getting to a stage where people using the AI-assisted tools will be in a better shape to handle things in a better shape
right.
rather than people staying away. So I would ask people to go ahead and try to understand what is happening, what is possible with the AI tools.
Right.
There are numerous amount of websites out there, information out there. Like, you can try to understand what is happening and how you can better use it for your growth. And not only for your growth, but also for your firm or for your company, how you can enhance the user experience.
Well, Raghu, thank you so much for teaching us about AI. You've been doing this for a while, so we really appreciate you sort of downloading your knowledge. And if people want to hear more about you, I mean, you're doing lots of different things. So if people want to hear more about you, where can they go?
Like you mentioned, I'm as passionate as about learning about AI as well as doing AI.
Yeah.
So in addition to writing the book, I continue because book is once you have done, you have to keep upgrading the things with the book. So what I have to do is that I have to continue doing what I am doing with the book and continuing my conversation. So I maintain a blog series so that I have my continued conversation. And to keep things in perspective, I'm also running a podcast. So what I do is that I also, like you are doing, I also invite guests from various different fields or various different AI domains. And to keep things in perspective, I have conversations with people. So for me, there is a huge amount of information out there, right? I think whether it is, there are beautiful blogs written by many people. There are beautiful podcasts done by many people like you and many other people. And there are numerous amount of information out there. So these are all the resources that you could go. You could, my podcast series is called Extra AI, X-T-R-A-W-E-I. I run some things.
What's the name of your book?
My name of the book is Implementing Machine Learning with SAP S/4HANA.
Fantastic.
Co-written with a author for SAP.
Okay.
So this is where we are. There is a lot of information out there. And enjoy and the tools and technologies that we have around.
Thank you so much for joining. Thanks for us for giving us your insight. You've been doing this for a long time, and it's great to hear someone who has a lot of experience. So thank you for joining.
Thank you for this opportunity, Hatu. And I'll keep a close watch on this podcast as well. I know you have been doing some great conversations.